presence reduci nama Tuhan. Nekuda kwekutipa imwe nguva zvakare kumira nekuva muupo hwavo kuimba nzimbo kumurumbidza nekupa zvapupu zvakanaka Mwari vanoda kuti tiite izvozvo.
I would like to thank the pastor once again for opening his pulpit for me.
It's
always my joy to be here because of the atmosphere that's around in this church. You just feel very free and very happy to serve the Lord when you have such a nice group of people like this. And I pray that God will continue to bless you and bless your precious pastor. I certainly appreciate Pastor Chesa.
And you know, Pastor Chesa,
Sister Chesa here.
And Sister Chesa, Varpano.
Very fine people.
Vanu,
very, very fine, humble people.
Vanu,
we respect and honor the gift that God has given to our brother.
And,
very accommodative.
Amen.
Very, very accommodative. May the Lord bless you. And I'm happy also, Brother Shanik is here.
Brother Shanik Parpano.
I just bumped on him about yesterday Brother Nikki.
Brother Nikki.
Amen. I certainly love you, my brother.
And
I'm very happy to see you.
And
amen. God bless you all. Amen. Now men are happy this morning. God richly bless you. Without much ado,
let's
just go straight into the reading of the scripture. I just feel happy once again. Amen. Now let's go to the book of St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41.
Matthew 10, verse 41.
Amen. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward.
Uyo anogamchira muprofita muzita romuprofita achawana mubairo womuprofita.
And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
Hanzina iye unogamchira munhu akarurama muzita rowakarurama uchapiwa mubairo wevakarurama.
You may be seated. God bless you.
Mungagare nepasi. Mwari
vakuropafadzei. Amen.
Amen.
Now I want to give a title to the message that I have this morning.
Ndinoda kupa musoro wenyaya kumaridzi yandina yemangwanani ano.
The reward of a prophet.
Mubairo wemuprofita.
the reward of a prophet.
Mubairo we muprofita.
And that's the subject that I have this morning.
And we
ask God to help us. And make a way for us in the scriptures. We don't have a new message. The message was already delivered by Brother Branham. But God has raised a fivefold ministry to continue the works of William Branham. To polish up the nuggets, maybe we might say that way.
And
so we are just repeating the things that the prophet has already said. And even in our messages as well, when we preach to our churches, we just repeat the things we have already said.
It's
because there's nothing new that we have.
It's
the same old blessed doctrine. Amen. That was good enough for the apostles in the Bible days. And it's still the same glorious message that we have today. Now the subject is the reward. Now we all want to be rewarded after we do something good. We expect a reward. Like children, we as parents, and we see our children doing something good, it's a good thing to reward them.
You
say, you are doing very well. May God continue to bless you. We reward them. Because it's good. It's to say, keep on doing what you are doing.
And
I believe that even at our workplaces too, if you are doing very well for the company, they reward you. Maybe sometimes monetary rewards, or promotional rewards, or even verbal rewards,
at their functions,
that's good. It's good. It encourages the people to know that you are doing that which is right, and that people appreciate you. Like the things that we see here in this church in
Eastleigh,
we appreciate that. The great hand of God in this church here, and what the Lord is doing with Pastor Chesa here, a respectable elder in the entire message, we'll certainly appreciate that. And it's good to mention it. Not just how we know God is doing things. God is blessing the pastor, but we know that, and everybody knows that. Yes, but it's good to say it. Say God is with this church. That's all. And I think that's fine. Amen. So that's the thing we are contending for. If you are doing well, God will tell you are doing well. And there is always a reward for every good thing you do for the Lord. We will not labor in vain. No laboring in vain. God will remember you. God will remember every effort that you do. So the Bible speaks about God as a rewarder.
And
says the reward of them that seek him diligently. Seeking God with all that is within you. With all your mind. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your time. Laboring faithful for the cause of the gospel. Diligently. with all the things therein that you have, God says he will reward such a person. He is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. And now sometimes it's not instant reward. It might take a long time before you receive the reward or the blessing of your labor. Don't give up. You keep on doing that which is good. The reward may not come at the time that you do God a service. But as God, we now know him. We now know him. He may not reward you the instant you desire the reward. But he always mark you down. And by, maybe after 2 years or 3 years, 4 years down the road, or even 20 years, you'll meet up with your reward. Because God does not forget his blessing. So when we labor for the Lord, we want God to reward us. But we allow him to reward us in his own time. In his own way. And he chooses the kind of reward he's going to give us. So what really gives me joy so much is to serve the Lord. I just want to love the Lord. I want to save him. And when I do that, I know he's going to take care of the rest. Because he has promised that he is going to reward if we save him truthfully and with a diligent manner. He doesn't fail on his promises. And as I've already said, it can take a long time. It took a long time for Abraham. He saved God diligently. He went through all that it go through. And he find out nothing really happened instantly. But he was strong in the faith, believing God. And he never staggered at the promise because of unbelief. He is saying, if it happens tomorrow, if it happens 10 years after, it will be more joyous for me at the time. That's the same way he dealt with Noah. Noah worked and labored for the Lord for 120 years, and there was not even any drop of rain. But he was persistent because God had given him the vision that one day it was going to rain anyhow. And of a truth, God rewarded that humble man. So remember, the reward may not be instant. But if God promises you something, he is more than able to fulfill every promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then we find out also that God rewards us according to our works. Now, that's something else that we need to consider. Firstly, he warns us, if we are diligent enough, pushing on against all the odds, knowing that God said it, God is able to fulfill every promise. And then there's the other part that says he rewards us, yes, but it's according to our works. Now then we got to consider this, because now he says according to our works. So that means that there's a positive reward as well as a negative reward. positive reward and a negative reward. But that's all a reward according to your word. Brother Branham saying, God does not forget his blessings, neither does he forget his curses as well. So we understand those things. God is a rewarder. For good things you do to him, he will reward you positively. But for the errors that we commit, God is honorable and is just in dispensing of reward. We can study the Bible and those things can be really confirmed to be exactly the truth. Now, back now, we are looking at the reward of a prophet. Now we keep that in our minds. Amen. The reward we are talking about this morning is the reward of a prophet. The reward of a prophet. Now, I believe that when Jesus was speaking about this subject, I believe with all my heart that he was looking into the day that we are living in now. Because this is a day wherein the same Jesus has promised his bride that I'll send a prophet. So this is the hour. This is the very moment. This is the now, the day, the time. The very minute now, don't leave this building today. You must make sure you go out of these doors holding in your hand the reward of the prophet. There has not been a prophet ever since. Never a gentle prophet. But in the last days, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. That's his message, his beloved bride. Now that church that received the prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. Now it doesn't say William Branham. It says Elijah. But we by faith know that the Elijah is the William Branham. How do we know? He will do exactly what the Bible says he's going to do. God is his own interpreter. When he said the virgin shall conceive, he never told us that he was Mary. But we believe, because the virgin conceived and bare a child. So it doesn't care. It doesn't matter. The name should not be written. That's not the thing. We don't want the names written. But we want the word to become flesh this day. This has fulfilled. When the word is fleshed out, that is the name thereof. That is the name thereof. If God would have declared names in the Bible, plus the name of William Branham, plus the name of Mary, even plus your name in the Bible, Satan would have done great harm. There would have never been a church in Eastley. There would have never been this man here. But where were we? We were hidden in the promise. Our names were in prophetic vocabulary. And when Branham came, he gave the interpretation. The interpretation of the prophecy. And there it rolled our names. It rolled our names. And there we can see one another. And when the word is being revealed, we are aiming what we have always aimed. And then we know one another. We now know who we are. Being united by a common revelation. That's exactly right.
Do chaizo chaizo.
So the name Branham mustn't be written.
Zitara kuti Branham hapana kunyorwa.
But it's written in our hearts.
Asi rakanyorwa mumwoyo yedu.
It's written in the templates of our hearts.
Rakanyorwa mumawendefa emwoyo yedu.
Now. That's the reward of the prophet. Now the reason why I'm emphasizing on this is because we are coming up a certain position here, that if you want the reward of a prophet, first you must receive the prophet in the name. You receive the prophet in the name
Muzita
of a prophet.
Remu profita.
And when you receive the prophet in his name,
Muzita rake,
then you are liable to receive his reward. Therefore, if the name is not identified, no prophet is
rewarded.
Why? Because the name and the reward in the same package. He who receives the name automatically you become a candidate for his reward. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The reward is in that name. That is the reason. Why? When the name is declared, Satan makes a war. He fights the name. They will hate the name. They will hate the name. They are comforted with the promise. They are comfortable with a promise. May I say, a vague promise. Because they don't know where that is going to manifest. So it could be anybody. It could be anybody. It could even be the Pope. Elijah could be the Pope. Therefore, the Catholics are still happy when they are reading the script of Malachi chapter 4. They pointed to the Pope. Who could be that Elijah? The Pope! And the Methodist, who says that is our Elijah, hallelujah. But when God himself, who gave the promise, vindicates one man, and says that is the man, then at that point, Satan will raise up and wage a war against that man. He fights the name because he knows what it means. He fights the name Branham because he knows what it means. If that name is declared and the people believe the name, they are believing he who sent the man. And then Satan knows that his power is rendered useless because God invests all his powers in a man. That's why God protects us. That's why God sends angels to encompass around them that fear his name. That's the reason. You don't have to fear the devil. We have gone through things ourselves. We would have not been even here standing here. We died a long time ago. But God, rich in mercy, we are standing here. We are not afraid of demonic power. We are not afraid of nothing. Everything is underfoot. That's exactly right. Why?
Say,
we have accepted that name. And the reward is our protection. And the reward is our way into the rapture. And the reward is our change of the body. All that he stood for. All what Branham stood for is what we are standing for today. So the thing is, receive the prophet.
by receiving his name,
nekugamuchira zita rake,
his name will be hated.
Zita rake richavengwa.
They don't hate Elijah.
Havavengeria.
But they hate a name.
Asi vanovenga zita.
That is associated with Elijah.
Zvinobatana naIriya.
Because there are many, many different interpretations of Elijah.
Nekuti pane dudziro dzakawanda dzakasiyana
dzaIriya. But we believe that Elijah is William Branham.
Asi totenda kuti Eriya uyo ndi William Branham.
And for that reason,
nekuda kwechikonzero ichocho,
they will hate us.
Vanotivenga.
But we are ready.
Asi takadzirira.
The reward is already here.
Mubairo uri pano nechekare.
Fear not the devil.
Musatye Satan.
Fear not them that can destroy the body.
Musatye vanokwanisa kuparadza mutumbi wako.
Fear God.
Chikamwari.
Who can destroy both the body and the soul?
Anokwanisa kuparadza mutumbi nemweya wako endesa
kugehena. Oh, we shall not be afraid.
Hatichatombotya.
I don't care how many they are.
Hatina basa kuti vakawanda sei.
Fear not, little bride.
Usatye menga mduku.
Fear not, little bride.
Usatye menga.
It's your father's good pleasure.
Hanzi mfaro wa baba venyu wakanaka.
See that you make it into the rapture.
Kuona kuti munokwanisa kuenda mukubvutwa.
So I don't see anybody.
Handina munhu andirocha.
That fulfills Malachi chapter 4:5.
Anosatira Malachi 4:5.
We are receiving the name, the prophet in his name. Who else can be Luke 17 verse 30? If they deny that, let them give us their Elijah. That is my argument. If they say our Elijah is not the scriptural Elijah, fair enough. Let Elijah step on the scene. Because we want to go in the rapture. We are tired of the things of this world. So let them bring in Elijah. They won't do that. They won't. Because they know what is going to happen. You cannot challenge the pillar of fire. You cannot challenge the pillar of fire. That man has nothing to do with this thing. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. And they are marvelous in our eyes. Satan thinks he's fighting us. But he's fighting the Lord God. Who can win a war against the Lord of hosts? This man is Luke 17 verse 30.
Luke 17, 30.
He also fulfills, it shall be light about evening time. And all these are the scriptures. My gives me so joy.
You
know that we are serving God under the umbrella of the end time message. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Now, so now it's receiving the prophet in his name. Because the name and the reward is the same thing. Turn with me just for a little time, Genesis chapter 12. Let's read Genesis chapter 12.
Genesis 12.
Verse 2 and 3.
And 2 and 3.
Genesis 17.
Na Genesis 17.
Verse 4 to 5.
Ndima 4, 5.
And we see the value in the name.
Tozoona kuti kukosha kwezita kuri
pano. Now, Genesis 12 verse 2.
Genesis 12 ndima 2.
Or maybe verse 1.
Kana kuti kubva pandima 1.
Now the Lord has said unto Abraham.
Zvino Jehovha akati kuna Abraham.
Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I'll show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. And I'll bless thee. And make thy what? Thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now mark this. All these glorious promises is giving to this man will come out of his name. Every promise to this man is connected to his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to notice one thing. He was not yet called Abraham at that time. He was still called Abram. But the promise was in the future. And it was already given here at the back before he had a name change. The promise was already here. Now remember those things. He was still a long way off to receive the blessing. The name was not yet sufficient enough to carry such a blessing. It was not yet sufficient. He had to add something to Abraham. He had to add that hamper and make it
Abraham.
A great name. A very great name that can accommodate great promises. Now, so that's what God does with you. He speaks of great things to you in your littleness, in your infancy, in your incompletion, in your inadequacy. He speaks great things. But they don't happen there. They don't happen there. He's going to make another step. And all the time,
Munguva,
he works with your name. And when he comes down,
Buruka,
he examines the adequacy of the name.
Kuona,
if your name has got inadequacy, he blesses the name. He changes the name. And when he changes the name, then the promise will be fulfilled. The reward will be fulfilled. The blessing is yours now. All packed in that name. Notice this. All these things were already given to Abraham. But he could not attain not even one thing. Where was the inadequacy? The name was not good either. It was too small. It was too small. The promises were too big. Luther was too small to contain rapture, to contain the mysteries. Even John Wesley, a gentleman, his name was not adequate to carry the rapture promises, to reveal the seven seals. But in the last days, I'll send you a man with a complete name. Seven letter name to accommodate all the promises of the ages in one name. That's why they will hate the bride. We are carrying the name of God in a human vessel. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
My, I feel good.
And you know,
all these things were already there. God had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that will show thee. Listen now. And I will, when I change your name from Abram to
Abraham,
in the day I will do that, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And shall make thy name great. Shall make thy name great. To accommodate great promises. And thou shalt be a blessing. Because you have got a blessed name. And then I will bless them that bless that name. Let's say hallelujah. I will bless them that bless thee, that name. They will receive very well because of receiving that name and curse him that curses that name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in that name shall all families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Now that's what he fulfilled in Genesis 17. My, may God give you strength in the body. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. May the Lord pour real nice things to you. Genesis 17, quickly. Verse 4, 5. The covenant renewed now. Renewal of the covenant was a renewal of the name. No covenant is renewable without renewing the name of the beneficiary of the covenant. So when he came down, he remembered there was something wrong. Time had taken too long. Why has he not become a father of nature? Why has he not been a great man? Why is he still in that condition? He came down to attend to those inadequacies. And he went straight to the position of inadequacy. He says, I know where the problem is. The name is not adequate. I'll give you a name change that can accommodate this great blessing. On verse 4, and for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know that he's repeating what he said before? He had already said that. But nothing happened. Nothing took place. They have got this something that will step in to make the promise a reality. Can you say
hallelujah?
We work by formula. It's actually a formula. It's biblical principle in operation. Then the real things begin to happen around us. God does not just move the way you want him to move. That cheap political things, that cheap Pentecostal gimmicks, a real move of God is constrained by his word. His word being fulfilled, he's taking a step towards us. And he works by principle. And that's a principle there. No great blessing when you've got a new name. He goes to the name and says, this is the problem. Why you still have your problems? Your name is not great enough. Therefore, I'm going to give you a name change. From henceforth, you shall not be called Abraham. But Abraham, for I have made you a father of nations. I have made you a great man. And I see your wife is called Sarai. That's why nothing happened. But I work according to principle. From henceforth, she's going to be a mother of many nations. But I'm going to work on the name. From henceforth, she shall be called Sarah. Because a mother of nations has she become. And yet, she was always the mother of nations. And yet, Abraham was always a great man. But the greatness was never manifested until the manifestation of that new name. Praise God, hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
My, if I had the time, you would like to see the changing ministry of Brother Branham. From the ordinary things that he used to do, to what he says, my new ministry. He now says, I am now in my new ministry. If you study that, there were things that had not yet taken place. But God came down
specifically
to activate that area. And he says, now, you can now enter into the new ministry. But you always knew that one day, I'll do the greater things. But how shall it be? At God's appointed time, he came down and showed Brother Branham all that he had to do. So the reward is in receiving the prophet in the name of a prophet. Jesus.
Yes.
That's the name of God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and when you receive God in the name of God, then you are duty bound to receive his reward. Then God will reward you. God will bless you. But there's a requirement he wants. Receive me first in my name. And that's where the problem is.
He
wants the Holy Ghost.
You're
coming from the world. Receive God in his name. Amen.
Yes,
be baptized in the name of God. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost baptism. Therefore, but if you deny the name, you are denying the reward of the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
It's good for your soul. There is no other name in heaven whereby we might be saved. No other name but the name of Jesus Christ. By the name of God, you shall receive the reward of God. How many believe that? Say amen. All right. Lord bless you richly. Now, we move another little octave higher. Step by step, amen. We are coming close now, because the subject is the reward of the prophet. Now we have identified the prophet. That's William Branham. Now to those of you who are not in the message, when you read those scriptures, that's the name. You say, why?
What he say?
Because he is the only man that did what the Bible says he was going to do. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And she conceived. Mary conceived. That was the interpretation there. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. John went there and said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He said, I am not the Messiah. Who are you then? He said, I am the voice. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Oh, I love that. The voice had become a man. And his name was John the Baptist. That is the interpretation. In the last days, I pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Did he do that? Did he do that? He did. He did it. What is it? That was the interpretation. Don't you put your interpretation. Wait upon the Lord. He will show you what it is. So we believe it. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I want to move on quickly to wind up. I want to give you two quotations, then we go to the third and finish. Now, Brother Branham, in the message, the angel of God,
1947,
way back here, he already knew who he was, and the reason why God has sent him. Now, listen now. Angel of God, 1947. Brother Branham is speaking and he says, if I come here to Phoenix, in the name of a prophet, I want you to mark his words in line with my subject. For the scripture says that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, then you shall receive his reward. If you receive a righteous man in the name of the righteous man, you shall receive a righteous man's reward. All that is in the name. There's power in the name. There's everything in the name. God has bent all the blessings in the name. Don't deny the name. Receive him in his name. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Is the power behind the name. The power behind the name that makes the demons to shake and tremble. Is the power behind the name that is going to change your body. Oh, brother.
Yes, sir.
Let me wind up. He says, if I come here to
Phoenix,
in the name of a prophet, oh, are we getting somewhere? And I do not the things that a prophet does, then don't believe me. I want to repeat that. If I come here to
Phoenix
in the name of a prophet, and I do not the things that a prophet does, then don't believe me. Now what if he comes to Phoenix, and he does the things that a prophet is supposed to do according to the word, what shall we say? We believe
in.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
We will believe him.
He knows the mutenda.
Because we are Bible believers. I don't care where the blessing falls. If I see God blessing this man, I'll rally behind him. And I'll support him. And lift up his hands. Because I love God. I'm not elevating nobody. If I see God working with Brother Shanik, a fireball, knocking all the demons along his way, all the demons in the youth, shaking them to pieces, young people throwing away their cell phones, as the man cries out, there is an anointing in them things. There is an anointing in them things. To me, I don't see any problem. I say, God bless you, brother. We are not elevating anybody here. Can you say
amen?
We don't wish Brother Branham. But there's a mystery I want to say to you. You can't reject a man of God and hope that God will bless you. The day you reject the man of God, that is the day you are finished. Because God has chosen to invest all his powers, all his grace inside the human vessel. We don't worship the vessel, but we recognize the grace that God has put in that man. And when we bless one another, ultimately we are blessing God. Because God chose to be in a man. And the spirit of the Antichrist rejects that principle that Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus has come in the flesh. The Antichrist spirit has always rejected that. But the children of God delight in a vessel. a chosen vessel. By his own choosing, he called Jesus to be our lamb, to wash our names. He did that in the body of a man, not in the body of an angel, but he chose a man, 100%, and he made him 100% God. That is the mystery of redemption. If you deny the man, you deny God. And when you deny God, you deny the reward. Because the blessing is banked in a vessel.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, let's draw the blessing today. Let's kneel with the blessing. We don't worship that man. But there's a mystery around
him.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Believe.
Believe.
And God will bless you. The Jews loved
Jehovah.
There was not a problem with Jehovah. But when Jehovah became a crying baby, they rose up. They rose up. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
God banked the blessing in a man called Moses. And when his brethren saw that, the devil stirred their hearts into envy and dirty jealousy. And that's a thing we got to mark at this time. We must recognize what God is doing in his people. I don't care what background he has. I don't care where he comes from. I don't care what kind of a car he drives. I don't care how the cost of his shoes and suits. We must be spiritual enough to pick up the God of heaven, hidden behind anything. He hid in a fisherman. He hid in a wilderness man. He hid himself in a baby in a manger. He hid himself in simplicity, but the elect will catch it anyhow. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
So let's break barriers. Let's break monetary barriers. Money does not mean God is with you. But we watch the word. There's only one thing that points out. It is the word. And when you've got the word of God, you are the greatest billionaire on this earth. You are
billionaire on this earth.
Because they've got something that is eternal. All these things will pass away. But he who has the word will not pass away. Because the word is God. And that's the only thing that is eternal. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
May the Holy Spirit break barriers. Of rich guys and rich
thieves.
Before I believe you, brother, I want to see the price of your shoes. And the kind of the briefcase you carry. I want to see the kind of home you live in. I want to see your bank account just for a moment.
Account
before I shake hands with you. Oh my. Oh, how thankful we are for gallant men. Hallelujah. So simple and humble. We don't fight money people, no. But we don't fight against money people. But it's the attitude towards the money. The attitude. Don't be angry with a rich man. And don't preach sermons against a rich man. Because one day, God will give you money. And when he gives you money, that will be the end of your sermon. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
That will be the end. You will never preach against
that.
You will gloss over those scriptures and gloss them. We don't want people who change their countenances. Rich man or poor man. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is our God. When we don't have any money. When we are down in the valley. He is still our God. When he blesses you with a nice car. And gives you a good home. And gives you blessing. He is still the same God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my, I feel religious.
And don't walk up in a matter.
Keep your balance in the scriptures. Don't fight a war with somebody who's got a good car. And because you've got a little thing which always got to push it around. And says, brother, don't you think I'm more religious? Don't you think I'm more religious than you? Because when I ask the brother to push my car, you know, I'm a humble man. Brother, let me tell you, humility is following the word of God. So we don't want a bunch of political
thinkers.
Poor man, rich man, receive ye the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Keep your balance in the scriptures. Because the devil is very clever. You start a cult of poor men. Because
Brother
Branham was a poor man. You better study the Bible good. One day you will need a rich man to pull you out. One day you will go in a donga, bro. An economic donga. Where your poor brother won't even do nothing to you. He will look at you and say, very sorry, my brother. But if you have respected all children of God, God will send a Joseph of Arimathea. He will anoint a Joseph, of
Arimathea
from nowhere and says, what is your problem? I'm short of $1,000. He just
caught it.
Oh, my. And that will be the end of your sermon. And then you become a real brother. A real brother. Let's say praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So let me wind up. If I come here to Phoenix, in the name of a prophet, and I do not the things that a prophet does, then don't believe me. But, if I come, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of prophecy, and as a servant, and I do the thing that is written of his servant, then you believe me. What this now? Brother Branham is showing to us who he was. Connecting with the prophecy of the Lord. That scripture of a reward of a prophet pertains to this age. What's the inspiration that came upon Brother Branham himself? He stepped into his prophecy and says, I am actually that prophet. And if you believe me, you will get my reward. I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Then step the last step now. What then is the reward of a prophet? I believe that the man that identified himself as that prophet, and that is Brother Branham, he should also tell us, is the same person that should tell us what his reward is. Oh, praise God. So we go back to Brother Branham again. He must tell us what that reward is. Because we believed the prophecy of the hour. Questions and answers.
64.
Somebody asked the question. Brother
Branham,
if you have time, please explain Matthew
10 verse 41.
I would like to know what is a prophet's reward. Can you say
amen?
The same one that identified himself as that prophet Jesus was speaking about, he must tell us if he's a real one. He must tell us what his reward is.
Yes, sir.
Listen now. Then Brother Branham says, right, well, now Jesus said, whosoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. A prophet's reward is to be a friend with the prophet. See, that's a reward. He is your friend. Like the Shunammite woman. It might come in handy sometimes. It did with her, see. What God's servants. What God's servants. Can you say
amen?
Oh, I feel good. I feel good. How many believe that? How many believe that was actually the man whom Jesus prophesied would come to us, and whosoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive his reward. And we now know what the reward is. Amen. Therefore, there's something then about friendship. As we wind up our subject, he doesn't say he'll give you this, he'll give you that. He never said he'll give you a better job. He never said he'll give you a better wife. Or he'll do this and that. He'll give you more tractors. He never said that. You get it? He bypassed all that. Because the human mind will go straight to the tangible reward. But when you become a spiritual man, you see the things in the unseen. The reward is abstract. He just says, the reward is to be a friend. To be his friend. Then you must dig a little bit deeper now. Because he speaks about the Shunammite woman. She was a friend of the prophet. She received the reward of the prophet. So in that friendship is your new job. In that friendship is wife. God gives you a wife when you are his friend. Because he does not want to disappoint him. Because we are his friends. And he is a friend of our God. What is it?
Amen.
What is it then? it becomes a chain reaction of blessing. A chain reaction of blessings. One blessing leading to another. And leading to another. From the natural little blessings. And we climb up higher into the Holy Ghost. Higher. Until we have a change of the body. All that because we have become His friends. And that man was a friend of our Jesus. Oh, I love that. He says, these are my friends. And he says, what about it? And then he says, what about, Lord says, what about it? He says, no, they are my buddies. They stood for me down there. And Jesus says, if they stood with you, they stood with me. Quickly, let them enter.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Amen.
The seventh angel leading the rapture. And we are watching our Eliezer. Our Eliezer is watching He who sent him. And we say, who is that one coming over there? Say, that's the one, that's your master. He will ask us in. How many believe that same
name?
So the thing is, mark the friendship. If you want the brotherhood to strengthen,
I've always
said this, be a friend of the brother. Be a friend. If I really love Brother Shanek, I must go beyond the boundary of the brotherhood and go into the unofficial salutation. And look at Shanik as a brother. Yes, but as a friend. Then he becomes a real brother to
you.
I always say this to my church. If you don't want to have problems with girlfriends, make your wife your girlfriend. Then you will never look for a girlfriend. Make your husband a boyfriend. Then you won't have this nonsense of boyfriend. That's the very depth of intimacy. When two friends look at each other. My.
Amen.
That's what Jesus has become to us.
Do Jesus have a patiri?
Listen now. I want to leave the other scriptures.
And magwaram.
In the book of Proverbs 17:17, I'm rushing. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Where is the more glorious part of the relationship?
It's
on friendship. Because a friend loveth at all times. But a brother has shortcomings. This man arrived at a friend's house late in the night. Because his friend also had visited him and he did not have any bread to put on the table. So he said, well, I know how to solve this. I also have a friend. I don't care what time of the day. When he says, hey, my children are in bed. My friends, my children are already in bed. And I'm already rested. What do you want? Who are you? Don't play games with me. Quickly come down and give me bread. Do you think that man had many arguments? The moment he realized that's him. Well, I put on my
shoes.
But I was already in bed. But because it's you, well, I doesn't matter. All right, how many loaves of bread do you want? You can take as many as you want. For the sake of friendship. Go beyond brotherhood. If you want real feel for the brother, be friendly to him. It has got a greater pull than all these other things here. How many believe the same? Amen. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sticketh closer than a brother. Brothers have shortcomings. The brothers have got shortcomings. But when the brother becomes a friend,
you get to the end of it all. My friends, sit down there. When you are friends.
Praise God, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Who is this friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Let me declare his name before you. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. When the brothers fail you, Jesus is always there. He abides as a friend forever. Praise God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, remember also, talking about Jesus, I had a scripture that says, read. I had written here, read the scripture. So, let's move on there just shortly. John chapter 15.
John 15 verse 18.
Let's find out here on the 13th verse. It says here that Jesus now, that's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Watch his words now. I love this.
Verse 18.
Greater love hath no man than this.
You
are talking about the greater love. He says greater love hath no man than this. That a man lay down his life for his friend. Repeat that in Shona, my brother.
Amen. Isn't
that wonderful? Then we know the very reason why he came down from glory and took a human vessel skin and suffered. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They spit in his face. Did all the horrible things that the Bible says. He endured the agony of
Calvary.
Do you know the reason why? And why did he go into that extreme anguish? For what reason would God leave the portals of glory and come down to suffer, to be tempted? Why?
Say,
what for? For his friends. If he had come just like a brother, would have never done that
much.
But he chose to be a friend so that he can accommodate the greater sin. So that he could accommodate the pain of Calvary. He could not do it as just a brother. But when the going became hot and heavy, he resorted to friendship. And he carried his cross, remembering his friends. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
And he poured the Holy Ghost upon his friends. He raised the dead, recognizing his friends. Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth. The friends of God don't die. They sleep. They've been given a privilege. Once the rest die, But my friends will sleep. Divine favor. Because of friendship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen now. That's your verse 18 and then moving up quickly. Look at verse
14.
Are you there on verse
14?
Watch it now on verse 14.
14.
Then how do we become his friends? How do we become friends of a prophet? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You don't become his friend by any other reason. Friendship comes and it binds when you believe in what he said. That's the greatest thing that God wants from you.
Is
you acknowledging his word.
Is
you believing his word. Then you become friends. Because friends have got a common ground. There are things that they talk about. And Jesus is the word. And he believes the word. And to be his friend, you must be a believer of his word. If thou canst believe, then all things are possible. It's friendship. It binds closer when you've got faith in each other's word. Then friendship binds closer. Alright, you believe that, say amen. Alright, 15 and the last one.
15.
Here's another thing. Henceforth, I call you not servants. What's the promotion? What's the promotion? For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friend. I've called you friend. Why?
Say.
For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The mysteries are revealed to the friends of the prophet. God reveals the mystery to the prophet, and the prophet goes to his friends and declares the mystery that he has received. That's the redemption story based on friendship. Based on friendship. Now we all know we have many examples coming straight in the Bible. But let's leave them. That's why the Holy Ghost will remind you of those things. Many stories. And hidden things in the Bible. Not revealed to anyone else. But God chose friends. And he passed the secret from one friend to another. Praise God, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Many stories. The stories of Abraham. Friendship. He became a friend of God forever. Forever. And we are Abraham's friends. And children. And the baton of blessings passed from father to son. So if you are Abraham's seed, receive ye the reward of a prophet. Healing is yours. The Holy Ghost is yours. Everything is ours. Without limitation. Because of friendship. He is duty bound to let you know everything he's doing. When he came down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, we all know those examples. He did not do that, but first he visited his friend Abraham so that he might know what I'm about to do, because of friendship and things like that. Lots of scriptures I want to leave here now for account of time. Let me wind up something here. Now, do you know now that the devil knows the Bible so well and what these principles? He has come to destroy God's friends as a friend. Matthew 24:24. The two spirits will be so friendly, so close together. Until it were possible, would deceive the very friends of God. To destroy a friend, he became a friend. So now watch. Watch it. By their fruit you shall know them. Where is the friendship? Is on believing the word. And staying with the word. The friendship is not so much on manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation area is a free gift to all. But the interpretation of the mystery, the secret, the revelation comes to a friend. It's whispered from ear to ear. Hearing the unheard and seeing the unseen, feeling the unfelt, moving in a dimension which the ordinary don't know nothing about. The gift of manifestation of the powers of God should never be a basis for friendship. Because even the Antichrist has oversubscribed in those things. Divine healing is a free gift. How many of you know that? That has never been a sign really of a move of God. Never in the Bible. The reason why God did that, Brother Branham said, the ministry of Jesus was 68% the miraculous. And then he did that so that he can help you to see the unseen. To see the unseen. He starts from the seen things. Because of the level of maturity. We have been lost and we're so far away from God. And God is His word. So what did he do? Like a school teacher teaching grade 1. You have to come in your lesson with a lot of teaching material. If you are a school teacher here, you can amen that. If you are trained for infants, they tell you you must never speak to those little things just like what I'm doing here. You must go to the concrete things. And when you are talking about a book, don't supernaturalize that there is a thing called a book. Read a concrete book and identify the word and the object. You say, tie.
What tie?
Children say, tie.
What tie?
Again.
What is Zakare?
Tie. Again.
Zakare.
Tie. Again.
Zakare.
Tie. Again.
Zakare.
Tie. And when you're doing that, you're constantly pointing. Why?
Say,
it's the level of the people.
Bunch
of
Pentecost.
Bunch of
Pentecost.
But the bride is on the unseen. The mystery. My brother, the mystery. That's not the concrete thing. The mystery. What is our diet? What is our diet? The mystery revealed the truth first It's a mystery. Secondly, revealed. Thirdly, it's proven by the written word that it's nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
That is your lesson.
Yes.
When you are speaking to graduates, those that are finishing their final semester in PhD, you tell them things like that. You say, book.
What the book?
They know everything about this. Amen. We know the book. Tell us what is inside the book. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
We are graduating one of these days. We are
going
to be kept just one of these days. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. That's all right with your divine healing. But I want to tell you, that was only a foretaste. I always say that to my church. Your divine healing is only a down payment. It's only an earnest. Divine healing is very necessary because it's a foretaste. But the real lesson is the change of the body. That's what is the attraction on the mountain. Not another cancer removed. But we are making ready for a complete body change. We are way up here. Way up here. Any day now you won't speak about those things. It's a foretaste. It's only a down payment. The reason why God sent a prophet so that we are rewarded with a change of the body. The healings and all these things have already been done. But we are still here. There's got to be something special to take place in the bride so that we get the prophet's reward. The prophet's reward is more than divine healing. That was not the real reason why God sent William Branham. Pentecost has already done that. But the rapture never came. But when God sent William Branham, His reward is to make you God again. Something way up higher than your prayer meetings. Pastor, are prayer meetings out of order?
My prayer meeting,
absolutely no. I said it the other time I was here. But remember again, that's not our reward. There are many people that are expert prayers. But they won't get in the rapture. They won't get the reward of the prophet. That is the word. Can you say amen? And his reward is what he is. He is the word. He had the word and he was the word. So what kind of reward is going to give us? The word. And he who has the word has everything. It's already there. He's got the seed. You got the
leaf.
You got everything. You got all the fruits. Where is it? Right in the seed. And the spoken word is the original seed. That's the reason why God sent a prophet. That's the reward of a prophet.
When prophet
is to make you gods again. Oh, Maima.
Yes, sir.
Maima.
Amen.
To make you gods again. Because he demonstrated God. And his reward is to make you gods. To give you the secret to make you God again. That secret was hidden in God before the foundation of the world, to be revealed to whosoever will believe his message, will be given his reward. Not to be a prayer warrior. That is only a down payment. I said, praying. That's good. But that's not good enough. There are many antichrist people who pray more than you do. More zealous for prayers. That was not the reason why God sent that man. The prayers had already been perfect. It was oversubscribed. Pentecost hit that mark of laboring in prayer to cause something to come down, and they attained that. But the rapture never came. Then he says, behold, I'll send you Elijah. And whosoever be a friend to that man will get the prophet's reward. A prophet is God to the people. And his reward is to bring up that element of God back in the bride and will be the gods of the beginning. That's a prophet's reward. Can we say amen? That's a prophet's reward. That is why we left our denomination. Prayers are good. But as I said at the other time, praying is just a down payment. It's good. But that's not his reward. What is his reward? Speak the word. That's the reward of a prophet. What is it?
Chief.
He says, speak the word. And when prayers have been perfected, made purified by the workmanship of the Holy Ghost, it changes from a prayer, just say, oh God, to the spoken word. Spoken word is not praying. Spoken word is not praying. It's just to speak it and say, get away, Satan. It's just get away, Satan. It's a command. Direct. And as I said, when you speak the word, you are not sending your word to another God. You are not appealing, because when you pray, when you are praying, you are appealing for a superpower to come down and intervene in your inadequacy. But the reward of a prophet is to make that man a God, so that when he around, he moves in his chest right now. And he looks at the mountain. Says, mountain, without even touching the mountain, without calling for a huge caterpillar, go, removing the mountain, just looking at it, says,
as I see, can you get off?
And I'm not trying to negotiate with you. Hear ye the voice of your Creator. The reward of a prophet. The reward of a prophet. Prayer becomes a spoken word. Divine healing becomes a brand new body. No more cancers. No more TBs. No more problems. That's the reward of a prophet. But now, as we are still in this, keep on praying. Can you say amen?
Amen. Keep on doing what a normal person
does.
Until he comes down and say, time is up. You have prayed enough. Stand up on your feet. Whatsoever you say, it's now begun. Here I've come by myself to give you your reward. You have believed in my servant. Receive his reward. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. I promoted you from a brother. You are now my friend.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I certainly love this gospel. I certainly love this gospel. Friends share power. They share all these other things here. And Satan, I've written here in closing, he knows all that. So to destroy Jesus, Satan became a close friend. He became Judas Iscariot. A very close friend to destroy a friend. So now the only bond of fellowship is on the word. The revelations of the word with a perfect interpretation. That is the basics of our friendship. Not so much on manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost, but our friendship is based on the Holy Ghost and not on the manifestation. Our friendship with
Moses
is not the friendship between Moses and Balaam. The friendship of Moses and
Balaam
was on the manifestation. But if you are a friend of Moses, you have the correct interpretation of the written word. Then divine vindication will be a reward. You understand? First things first. The thing is on the word. We don't want this bunch of Pentecostalism. The basis is on that word. And all these other things will run their course. You want it to pull too much from God, but when you take God at his word, he will finish the rest for you. That is a teaching of the entire message. Not the Pentecostal approach. The approach to the supernatural, the approach to the miraculous, is not miraculous. The approach to the supernatural is never the supernatural. There is only one way, and Jesus is the way. The revealed word will send you on course to the regions of the seven thunders. The reward of a prophet is the gift of the seven thunders. Way up here, the interpretation of the written word. That's the basics for friendship. Janice and Jambres threw down their roads, and they also became cobras. But they never was a friend of Moses, because it was all cobras. Moses rode and became a cobra. Janice and Jambres rode and became cobras. That was not the basis of friendship. Nonsense. The friendship was somewhere else. Moses was the word. He had the word of God. And when the showdown came, the gift of the Spirit failed. But the giver prevailed.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And Moses, being the word,
Moses,
he never was bothered. He knew the battle is not mine. But Janice and Jambres had personal battles. But Moses, being the word, had nothing to fight. The word, the word was his weapon.
And Moses,
Moses
became a spectator in a conflict which he had nothing to do with. He was a spectator to see a display of the supernatural. God on display. God moving in action. Standing with his friends. And the road of Moses and the road of William Branham swallowed all the road of the adversary. The teaching of the word, the correct teaching of the word, is a greater power than the power that is used by God to raise the dead and to open the eyes of the blind. That's a very small power. That's a very small God. But the reward of a prophet is greater than that. The correct lining of the word, the handling of the mystery, and unveiling them before the people is a greater power of God. That is the reason why God sent a prophet in this
place.
You know those things very well.
We
always said that to you. Seven angels came for the opening of the word. The opening, just to open the word, it had to take the combined power, the combined power of seven mighty angels. Snow white angels. Snow white angels. Straight from glory came down on Mount Sunset, not to usher in another campaign of divine healing, but to usher in another campaign, a change of your body. Seven mighty angels, 1946, for the divine healing. Only one angel came down to stool and stood with the prophet and designed the secret of the heart of a man. But in 1963, seven angels came down not to discern the heart of a brother, but to discern the heart of God himself. This day, this day, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give honor to God.
Yes, sir.
The day of our redemption is
yes,
here.
Sir.
The day of your redemption is here. We are receiving our reward now. And I know the devil hates this now. But I want to tell you, Satan. I want to tell you, Satan. And all your devils hanging on the windows there. Let me tell you, Satan. Don't you worry. He said, why are they rejoicing? I don't see a dead man being raised there. I'm not seeing candles rolling on the floor. They have what a greater thing than that. I want to tell you, Satan, they are receiving their reward. The reward of a prophet. The reward of a prophet. More than all these Pentecostals. He who receives the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive his reward. May God richly bless you. Listen close. To destroy a friend, Satan became a friend of the Lord. And that's why the Bible says, don't you ever trust in a friend. It's a Bible thing. Don't trust in a friend. But your friend is God. But when it says, don't trust in a friend, it means Satan is your friend there. How will you know the differences between a true friend and a fake friend? The word.
Choco.
The word.
Choco.
The word.
Choco.
Sold the difference. Can we say amen?
Amen.
All right.
Yes,
so,
sir.
When Judas led the company of the soldiers,
Judas bakatunga mireva rivaya.
Jesus looking at Judas.
Yes, akatasabana Judas.
He addressed Judas as a friend.
Akatotuna Judas kama.
Just how come I thought you were my buddy all the time?
Anzina kutulisha mari yangu badosei.
But I know who you were.
Ndozvakuti wakanga urani.
You are my friend.
Urisha mari yangu.
But it's written in the Bible.
Asi zakanyorwa mubhaibheri.
Don't trust in a friend.
Usavimbe mulesha mari.
And Judas identified Jesus by a kiss.
Judas akaratidzira Jesu Kristu kuvarwi
nekukisa.
Ushamari.
As a friend. And says, the one that I'm going to kiss, hold him fast. That's him. Take him away. To destroy a friend. He became a friend. So you watch those two spirits, amen. Watch those two spirits, amen. We are joined and united together by the word revealed. That's actually your new birth. That's your new birth. What is it? Christ.
Christ
being personally revealed to
you.
Upon this rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
it.
Let me close with that. When Branham went across the curtain of time, you remember that incident very well. God told him, you've been gathered together with your people. As Jacob being a prophet, he was also gathered together with his people. Now mark this. So that these Branhams, no. You're getting your reward now. They are trophies of your message. That your begotten ministry. Those are the ones that believed your testimony. Mark that again. Now, maybe let me read it. Can I do it? All right, let's read it. I think it's better to read because I've written it here. And that's my only last quotation. And I want to take the one in 50
still.
And just then I heard a voice. And he cried out, saying, all that you ever loved. And he said, reward for my service. Reward for my service. Can we say
hallelujah?
He who rewarded us is getting his reward also. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Then he says, I don't need no reward. That's a humble man, isn't it? Once he said, all that you ever loved, and all that loved you, God has given to you. When you loved Brother Branham, you loved his message. Because you loved Jesus. So friendship, you go to love him, and he go to love you. Let him that is friends be friendly always. That's actually the bond of friendship. All redemption is based on that. Salvation is based on friendship. Everything that God gave to you, he has given it to you by way of friendship. Make him your friend. Alright, let's keep on rolling it down. Alright. Now, turn around and look, alright. You can hold it there. Let me paraphrase it. Now, remember this. There were even animals, like always saying, that were predestinated together with Brother Branham. We all know. Brother Branham was not only a friend to human beings. We know that because that was the original Adam. We all know that that the congregation of the first Adam included animals. Then Brother Branham is the last restoration of the fallen Adam. Can you say hallelujah?
Now,
some people don't want that, but I want you to believe it. To get his reward. Absolutely. We are not jealous of the man. He made him a prophet and we thank God for that. He made us what we are and we thank God for that. That settles it. But you must acknowledge what God has done on somebody. Then God will bless you. So now remember, one of his congregation is a dog called Fritz. Predestinated for a life of service to a vindicated prophet. God, you, Elijah, would be a wilderness man and he would be a hunter. And he had a one great desire from the beginning. Not even to be a prophet. But to be a humble hunter. That would kill little animals and sell the skins of the animals. And to satisfy that part of the ministry, God ordained Fritz to be a hunting companion. A friend of a prophet. If the animal get in a hedge grow somewhere there in a little thicket, and Brother Branham could not really see where the animal is going, he would call on his friend. Come here, Fritz.
Fritz, we are.
Seek him, boy. Get in the thicket and smell the thing out. Fritz. So when Fritz died, it was like a person had died. Brother Branham even a little sermon for Fritz. And he tells us, said,
Fritz,
you've been a good companion to me. It doesn't matter. Rest in peace. But I want to assure you one thing. I'll get him who caught you. I'm going to get that one who got you. Because he was poisoned by somebody. But God blessed Brother Branham. Instead of hating him, he loved him. And made the way for him to be a Christian as well. But Fritz got a prophet's reward. What is it? Salvation.
Ruponiso.
To the animals.
Kumuka.
As well as sons of God. Can you say hallelujah? He fulfilled his ministry. A friend of a prophet. There was a horse that became a very close friend of the prophet. Also in his hunting expedition. When he went across the Cairn of Time. And God was giving him his reward. All the friends of the prophet. All that loves you. And everything you love. It's your reward here. Amen.
Yes,
and they are going to share eternal life with their friends. Think about those things there. And all the mountains came. And when they heard that sermon, they said, we are resting on that. Look at Hetty
Rice.
Not just a congregation member, but was a friend of the prophet. And he believed the message of the creation. Of the spirit, and immediately God came down, says, give her her reward. She has believed your word. Let her get her reward now. Sister Hetty, you've said the right thing. Now he's here. Ask what you will. Once he's still here. And the brother said, Sister Head says, Brother Bill, I don't know what shall I ask. What shall I say, Brother Bill? Brother Bill said, it's between you and your God. Whatever you say, remember,
Rangarira. You are a poor widow. You don't even have no money.
Murombo, hauna mari.
If you ask for $1 million, if you ask for
$1 million,
they will be right here, or else I'm a false prophet. But brother Bill, what exactly does he want?
He
says, look here, there is Edith Wright.
Edith Aripoi.
She has been on a wheelchair ever since. Even when the prophet prayed for her, God only removed the pain. But the physical problem remains. That's not a reason for you to backslide. God has a reason for everything. Now mark this. Say what you will, Hetty. It's between you and your God. Monetary things or a divine healing. Monetary things, gospel of prosperity, and gospel of divine healing. Did you know that those two walk hand in hand? Those are the two things every man of the dust is looking for. He wants his body to be healed, so that when he's healed, he makes more money. I'm so happy I'm speaking to a very mature sound. I'm always spoken to your pastor. I'm so happy with your
pastor.
I've always told your pastor here. I'm so happy and so free. And you can say anything to the Eastern Church, and they still catch it with you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And many people know that and they acknowledge that. It's not by power, it's just the grace of God. So keep humble and stay simple. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, Hetty Wright, perfect type of the bride. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The very kind of church
Mando
is coming to take home.
Ilkuya, kumba.
She is not found too much in the healing campaign.
Healing campaign.
Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
What did the prophet say? When the Beatles came over to the United States in 1964, and people with crutches went over to the airport, and when they saw the Beatles, dope addicts, drunk with marijuana, bunch of filth boys from Liverpool, they dropped their crutches. He walking like that. And they said, here comes the Messiah. A Messiah full of drunken filth. See how the devil can crook and things like that. To make you believe that that's the thing when it isn't the thing. You will still get your blessing. Because there's only one thing that blesses you. That's God. There's only one healer. And that's God. But if I can make a devil a God for you, and cause you by a wrong teaching of the word to think that is God, you are twice blinded. Why? Because you become a church that looks for results. A result-oriented band of people. And when God chooses to be silent, you say there is no God. And then your foolishness is satisfied. Now mark this. The prophet teaching us, he says,
The message of the hour is not based on results. Results or no results. Darkness or no light or light and no darkness. He is a God after all. He is a God of the mountain. He is a God of the valley. He is God all the time. When it was dark, he transformed himself and became a pillar of fire. When the natural sun came out, he became a pillar of cloud. But the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire is the same God, same Jesus, yesterday, same forever. Can we say
amen?
Can we say
hallelujah?
That is your prophet's reward. Eastly Church, receive ye your reward. Receive your reward. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Stay with the way. Hetty Wright. Never chose the supernatural
thing.
She never desired money. She never desired so much healing. Brother Branham said, never trust healing campaigns. Is that a quotation? Is that a quote? Read all quotes. Don't read some of them halfway. Keep on reading. Keep on following. You'll see he makes a conclusion. And says, therefore, trust not healing campaign. So the bride is not so much for the healing campaign. She's not in the forefront too much. She believes in the healing. But she's not trying to spearhead a revival or something that is in the past. It's now a silent campaign. It's a third pool closet campaign. It's now behind the veil. We don't know what is taking place, but we're seeing the change in the people, moving from glory unto glory. They don't seem to have so much, but they have everything. They don't seem to be rich, but they have everything, possessed of all things, like Abraham. That's the present stage of the ministry. What's the system? What's the approach of Hetty Wright? Where is your bride? Say what you will. If God stands before you and you are suffering from cancer and you don't even have any bicycle and say anything you will, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for the creature to stand face to face with this creator. And for you to receive the message of the hour, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Don't ask for the wrong things. Don't be fooled by the devil to give you something that is temporary. Amen, church.
Amen.
Look for something more glorious that will abide forever when all these earthly treasures are done. Those that will endure, those that will endure shall be saved. Can we say hallelujah? Therefore seek, number one, salvation of your soul. Even if you know you are saved, keep on desiring to be saved. Even when you know you are full of the Holy Ghost, keep on desiring the Holy Ghost. And all these other things shall be added unto you at God's own appointed time. Therefore, Brother Bill, the greatest desire of my heart, is not $1 million.
Asi ma million dollars
is not a healing for Sister Edith.
Ah, kusi kupozwa kwa Sister Edith.
Because I know
nekuti ndoziva
she's already healed.
Akatopozwa nechekare.
Eternally healed.
Akatopozwa.
Not a Pentecostal healing.
Hanzi kupozwa kwekanguva.
But a bright healing.
Pentecostal kupozwa kwemwenga.
What is it, Brother Bill?
Chi ama Bill?
The greatest desire of my heart is the salvation of my two boys. All of a sudden, he came down and said, brother, talking to the prophet, and says, she has said the right thing. Tell her, I'm here to give you your reward. Say it. And Brother Branham stands before Haiti, right? Says, Sister Haiti, I, not God, I, William Branham, give you your reward. Receive you the salvation of your two boys. God bless you,
Israel.
God bless your pastor. Every one of you, let's stand up to our feet and rejoice. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Praise God. Praise God. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before us. Let's all say thank you, Jesus. Let's say praise God. As I hand over to your precious pastor. May the God of
Branham
be a rock of your salvation. When you need divine healing, it's already given. When you need salvation, it's already given. All that you need for the rapture is already in them
takes.
God bless you. Shalom.
Shalom.